the more common approach these days, particularly in academic discussion about ethics, is naturalism. So naturalism tends to take the approach of describing ethics or describing an ethical approach. In that sense, it tends to fall back implicitly on conventionality. Naturalism also relies very strongly on the fact-value distinction, so on the idea that we can just focus on certain facts about ethics, so we can describe what people believe or even how people behave and make that the basis of a theory about ethics, as it were. But what that misses, I think, is that there is no complete disjunction between facts and values. So when you try and describe a fact, you will also be communicating values at the same time. Even if it's just by the facts that you choose to pick out rather than other facts, you know, you'll be giving value to those facts, let alone by the way you then communicate those facts and the attitudes you reveal in your tones of voice and the way you phrase it and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we can't be morally neutral because we're flesh and blood creatures. So anyone who tries to merely describe ethics will also be prescribing, at least to some extent, they will also be, in effect, saying that this is the right thing to do. So the effect of naturalism seems to me to prescribe conventional morality by default. You know, if you try and describe what people generally accept in society, you'll be justifying it in some way. You know, if you just describe it and you leave it at that, and you say, well, we can't have a prescription here, we're not going to be prescriptive, we're just going to describe. And that's part of what leaves the moral vacuum, I think, that where particularly, you know, academic convention and possibly professional conventions, and you know, often there's a certain point where you know, you're up to a certain point, you're just allowed to describe what people believe, and maybe you might then bring in some sort of cloaked ethics like professional values or something like that with which to make decisions, or you'll follow government policy or you know, these things are not really brought together. I think that's the main problem, that the justification of the moral attitudes that are being brought in, either cloaked in description or cloaked in legal language or cloaked in psychology or whatever, you know, it's never really thought of morally. So I think to have a more effective understanding of ethics, obviously the middle way is important. And ethics on the one hand needs to be challenging, so it needs to not just be a reassurance that we're already doing the right thing, which is effectively what you do if you just describe what we're already doing. But at the same time, it needs to be realistic. So, yeah, one of the sources of the failure of traditional metaphysical ethics has been the fact that it was very often just a set of idealism. You know, it's just you know, if you take the Ten Commandments, say, thou shalt not murder is a command which Christians and Jews throughout the ages have in theory adhere to. But, you know, then look at all the, well, forget war, you know, maybe war wasn't murder, but look at the number of judicial killings even, where kings took the opportunity to use law as the cloak for murdering political opponents.
It's lucky that God himself did that a few times.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, no, examining the Bible more closely is really a minefield. But thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, that's equally clear in the Judeo-Christian tradition. And then look at the number of kings who had mistresses and how, you know, deeply conventionalised adultery was actually in the way in which a lot of political rulers operated. And indeed, even relatively recently still operate, you know, the Profumo affair or whatever, you know, politicians even in recent times. So, whatever our ethics is, it's got to be much closer to what people can actually do. That is, you know, address not only the conditions of the world around us, but also psychological conditions. So I think very often traditional ethics have just stated how things ought to be in some abstract sense, but they haven't taken into account what people can actually do or not do, given really the way their neural connections have been set up. They haven't been taking into account the state of people's brains. So, for example, it would be great, ideally, that, you know, we could all stop emitting CO2 tomorrow. That would be practically possible. It might cause widespread economic disruption, but, you know, we could do it and we could live. But it's not psychologically possible. Yeah, because we've actually got a load of people behaving in certain ways which they're habituated to, and you could only ever change those habits gradually. If you tried by force to change all those habits, suddenly you just get a massive reaction or a revolution or something which would actually derail the motive you had. Mm. So ethics needs to be realistic, but at the same time it needs to just be slightly ahead of the game. It needs to be slightly ahead of where we are at the moment to guide us in a certain direction. If it's going to be both following the middle way in the model it's using and also of practical value. So I think the we've got this traditional way of thinking about ethics as almost that it's got to be abstract, it's got to be idealised. But I'd suggest actually the opposite, that it's only actually normative, it's only actually right if it's telling us something we can do, with can interpreted in a realistic way. So, and now this